that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Hey, everybody, happy new year. Let's get to it. 2023. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway along for the ride podcast as we talk about the NBA driven by Bet Online. As BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, check them out. BetOnline. Okay, guys, let's get to it. Lots of offense going on right now, Bob Ryan. I mean, my word.
Know, I'm working on a story on that, guys, and it's really fascinating. The thought that some of the stuff – and basically I'm going to tell you a sneak preview.
Yeah.
25 years ago, we were in a basketball ice age. A quarter century ago, it was – if scoring 100 was a big deal, right. I'm not lying. It was awful. Anyway, this is if you like big boxcar numbers, this is the week for you.
You know, oh, it's incredible. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was 71 in the Cavs overtime win over Chicago, 145 to 134. Giannis had 55 to beat Washington. Klay Thompson had 54. And is the offense getting better, Bob, or does the defense suck?
I think the offense is getting tougher to deal with. Everybody can shoot, you know, the three now, and everybody, quote unquote, you know,
does shoot the three. Now.
It's the currency, and it has had a big difference. Tempo. I think coaches that want to move it up the floor. That was the problem 25 years ago. I used to say that we had a bunch of coaches in the league who were happier when they didn't have the ball than when they did, and now I really believe that to be true. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that's gone. So it's an up-tempo offensive-minded league. By the way, hidden in the bull rushes there is my guy DeMar DeRozan had 44 in that losing effort. He actually made a couple of threes, Jeff. He was 2 for 6.
Good for DeMar. Good for DeMar. He's adapting.
And then the dark horse MVP candidate Joel Embiid had 42 in the same night. Nobody talks about that. Doncic at 39, it's like, you know, what's the matter with you, you know, that same night. So it's definitely an offensive era. There's no question. Of course, now, you know, you got to play a little bit better defense than the Celtics did last night. We understand that. So, guys, I want to tell you something. It was the first thing I thought of when I saw that score. I've been here before. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
On March 9th, 1979, in the Silver Dome, the final score was Boston. It was Detroit Pistons 160. I said S-I-X-T-Y, Boston Celtics 117. That sound familiar? Kevin Porter had 32 points and 25 assists. And by the way, for people who don't know, and I had to keep reminding myself, Kevin Porter Jr. is not related to that Kevin Porter. Kevin Porter Jr. was from Seattle, Washington, as Jeff well knows, which has become a real hotbed of basketball, high school. And his father was indeed a basketball player, but not the one you think of. Okay.
Right.
But in my everlasting memory, guys, of that night in Silverdome was the coach of the Pistons doing this bit, leading the cheers, rousing the crowd the whole night, Dick Vitale. It was
really,
it was on a road trip in which the Celtics were humiliated twice. They also got blown out in New Orleans and gave up like 140 And I remember standing next to John Y. Brown after the game, asking me, what's wrong with us?
So how many years was Vital a he was only, it was like 3 or 4 years, right?
No, not even that. Not even that. A year and a half. I think a year and a half. And he was relieved in the midst of a season.
I want to know what you told John Y. Brown.
I think I told him, you're not very good. They weren't.
And that's why Bob Ryan's in the Hall of Fame.
No, really. I mean, I couldn't get that. But he was, I can still remember Stone talking to him in the tunnel after that New Orleans fiasco. Anyway, so 150 to 117 does not set a record for the Celtics in humiliation. 160 to 117 does. Now, one other thing about last night's game. Five guys in double and 20 points, okay? I have only seen that personally twice in all my career in the NBA. Twice before that. That's very, 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 very rare.
Yeah.
The first one I saw was in the early 70s. The Celtics beat the Bullets on a night when there was an usher strike, I remember. The ushers were on strike at Boston Garden. And the starting five, which was predictable, got, and Don Chaney was the one who you didn't expect to get 20, but the Duck had 20 that night. That's one of the times. The other one that I saw was in the 1984 Western Conference Finals. The Suns beat the Lakers in L.A. And if you can name the starting five, Jeff Goodman.
Go ahead.
Okay, it was Alvin Adams,
yeah.
Larry Nance Sr.,
yeah.
Walter Davis, okay. Kyle Macy. I'm forgetting the fifth myself. I'll have to look.
Walter Davis. I forgot about Walter Davis.
It's a good team.
Very good. It was a good team.
That was a good team.
Yeah. I'm forgetting something very obvious, but that was the team. And Maurice Lucas.
Oof. You played for the Suns.
You forgot Maurice Lucas.
Yeah, Maurice Lucas. That was the five that beat the Lakers that night in L.A.
I remember, didn't Lucas go to the Lakers after Portland?
Yeah, he played for the Lakers. In fact, he involved in a famous brawl in an exhibition game with the Celtics. Forget who was his combatant, but the Celtics went out there to play an exhibition game or two, and they got into a brawl. This is the peak of the, you know, Bird era.
All right, getting back to Mitchell.
Back to this team.
Bob, how much credit are we giving Donovan Mitchell for this 71? Because there were a few things at play here, right? Number one, this is not a regulation game, right? I mean, he still had 58. In regulation. He still had a hell of a game. I think 58. No. Is that right?
I don't know.
What do you have in regulation?
I don't know.
I think it was. I think it's 58. But, well, number one, in regulation, he missed a free throw at the end of the game and clearly stepped over the free throw line. They didn't call it. Whatever. Who cares? But I guess my bigger take on this is these numbers right now, how insane they are. You know, this is the eighth highest scoring output of all time, right? Wilt had, I believe, six of the top 10.
Probably.
Kobe, yeah, we know, had 81 in 2006.
I wrote him down, Jeff. Wilt, Kobe, David Thompson, David Robinson, and Elgin Baylor are all 70-plus.
Okay. Right.
So this is the eighth highest. But again, not a regulation game, number one. Number two, I'm looking at it now, and the scoring, like you said, in 2006 when Kobe put up his 81, the average points per game in the league.
Yeah, 58 in regulation, Jeff. You were right.
58 in regulation. Okay. Yeah. So Kobe in 2006, the league was averaging 97 points a game, Bob.
Yeah,
you know what they're averaging right now?
113.8.
That is a record. That is 3 points higher than a year ago, believe it or not. So how much, putting into perspective, obviously it was an incredible night. And I love Donovan Mitchell. So I don't want to disparage him in any single way. I've known Donovan since he was a kid. And in fact, I remember him calling me, coming out of Louisville, called me and said to me, basically, I'm not sure if I'm going to put my name in for the draft. This was in 2017. He really wasn't sure because at that point, he was kind of a fringe first rounder. I think Rick Pitino was even trying to convince him to come back to school. He went 13th, you know, behind, I mean, Dennis Smith went ahead of him. You remember the Knicks took our boy Frank Ntilikina, eighth that year. Imagine if they had taken Donovan Mitchell, they would have been in pretty good shape right now. They wouldn't have needed to trade for or sign Jalen Brunson. But I guess, Bob, try to put it in perspective here of its historical significance.
Yeah, well, no, you do. You always have to. You always should. No matter anything, when any of these things come up, you should understand that. No, I think your point is well taken. Anyone should understand that we're in an inflated offensive era right now, and you know, things, maybe it'll be as we were in an ice age a quarter century ago.
Well, I mean, do you like it?
I'm happier with this than I was with the other one.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no question.
I can remember, you know, there were two finals in a row, 97 and 98. This Bulls beat the Jazz twice in a row. 2 6-game series. The numbers, I'm going to find them. I'm sorry.
They were that bad, right? They were awful.
It was horrible. And nobody was scoring 100. And back, we had a game. Remember that? There was a 96-54 game. Remember that? Against the Jazz?
Bob, yeah. Let me ask you something. Bob, when did the three officials come into play? Do you guys remember?
I don't know exactly.
Because that has something to do with it.
All right. We had that era when nobody, I can remember having a conversation with, two things come to mind here. One was David Stern. We were all badgering David Stern during the finals about these abysmal low scores. And you know, what was he going to say? And he was saying, hey, you guys like baseball. You like a 1-0 game, right? You know, it's something he was always easy, but he was always a good to approach. The other, here's an anecdote you'll love. So one during the Ice Age Knicks finals against the Rockets. And it's sludge ball. It's awful. It's ugly. It's terrible to watch. It's horrible to watch. Riley has reinvented himself into, you know, into this thug ball thing, you know, with Charles Oakley and company. Yeah. So we're on an off day practice in the middle of the finals. And Chuck Daly is a commentator for somebody during these finals. And people started hearkening back to the Bad Boy Pistons, who were that was only 5 years earlier. Okay, it's 5-6 years earlier, and saying, well, this is where it all got started. And he said, don't blame me. He said, we led the league in scoring, which they did with 105 a game. And remember, they had an offensive team. The backcourt, you know, was one of the. By the way, we have a competition for my next statement: the greatest offensive backcourt in the history of basketball, three man, because the Warriors are making a bid for that honor right now. But anyway, they, you know, that Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, they were offensive players. Lambeer was good for 15 a game. Mark McGuire, you know, they had some offensive players. Anyway, Chuck Daly going, don't blame me. No, you know. So anyway, that was that.
But well, my theory doesn't hold.
Refs, go ahead.
Because in 1988, it says when they started using three-man refs. I didn't think it was that early. But, you know, I definitely think that there's a lot of officiating going on. I don't know if they let it. You know, I think that people want offense, Jeff. I mean, the league wants offense.
Well, you can't hand check anymore. You can't. I mean, right. The rules have changed over the last few years. So you have that plus the proliferation of the three-point shot and really right. Getting to the highest level, like Bob said, where you've got Al Horford now jacking threes. You know, guys that never would have.
Guys, I got the numbers. You ready? In 1997 finals, won by the Bulls, 4-2. One team broke 100.
Jeez. Wow.
Out of 12 opportunities.
And that's crazy considering how great Jordan was.
Under 80 twice. And the game four was Utah 78, the Bulls 73 in the NBA Finals in 1997. And the next year, this is being the 25th anniversary year for that, 78, 98, right? 77, 98. This will be the 25th year. In those finals, over 90 twice. That's it.
I'm looking at it now. They were averaging making about 4.5 to 5 threes a game. Right now, the average is over 12 threes a game.
Right, right. And I also think in the finals, Bob, I mean, your point's well taken. It's obviously accurate. It's going to be interesting to see in this year's finals if how much the offense goes down. Because as we all know, I mean, defense is played in the playoffs, especially the conference finals, and in the finals, you start to see teams D up. It's not going to go down to 70 points a game, but it'll be interesting how much the defense tightens up in the finals.
No question about it. Well, that's always the trend, but still, the proportion, the relative
crazy
numbers. You know, well, what we're talking
about. Let's face it. You know, I mean, the players are more talented than ever. I mean, they are. I mean, they're more talented than ever. I mean, I love my guys from the 70s, you know, Havlicek and Cowens. You know, they'd still have a role in today's game. But God bless Steve Kaberski, would he? You know, I mean, the guys today, their talent, Jeff, is off. I mean, Jeff, you must see it. You see kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old. The talent is off the hook.
I do, but I also look and I say to myself, okay, like, there's a kid, Lou Dort, on Oklahoma City. Okay. Yes. And I remember seeing him as a freshman. He only played 1 year at Arizona State. Couldn't shoot at all. I mean, great defender. I thought he'd be, I remember seeing him in Vegas early in the year before anybody knew who he was and saying, like, he's going to be an NBA player, but he can't shoot. Well, he in last night's game for Oklahoma City, when they scored 150, he had 23 of the 150 and he was 3 for 6 from three.
Right.
And that's, I guess that's the difference, right? Is like everybody's got the ability to shoot the three, and the defenses obviously aren't as good. I mean, they're just not. They're more of a premium. These guys understand their bread is buttered now. Even look at Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown used to be a great defender when he came in the league. He is not a great defender anymore.
Right.
He's a great defender when he wants to be.
Sure. It defenses effort. Yes.
Right.
But,
and just understanding that, you know what, you're not going to give a ton of your time to defense if you know you're getting paid based on your offensive numbers. And ultimately, that's where you're going to put most of your energy, time and energy into. You know, some players have to defend, right? That's what they are. But there's very few of them now. There aren't as many Bruce Bowens in the league anymore.
No, you're right.
No, and the league loves it. I mean, it's more popular than ever. People love offense. Okay.
Let me just tell you one thing. I got numbers, up-to-date numbers. Are you ready?
Yeah, let it rip.
Through last night, there have been 75 games of a team scoring 130 points or more. 75 times a team has scored 130 points or more.
That's amazing.
75 times. Teams have scored 140 in the 140s 16 times. They have now scored in the 150s 3 times. I'll repeat those numbers. And then 130s.
And who would have thought, again, if I had told you, and this can be a probably jumping off point to the Celtics a little bit here.
Sure.
If I had told you that Oklahoma City would be one of those teams, number one, scoring 150, you would have said I was crazy because you can't name most of the players on their team.
And not against
that
Boston.
They would do it against the Celtics. Again, I get they didn't have Big Rob.
Yeah,
but they did have, again, Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year. Jaylen Brown, considered a really good defender that, to me, isn't quite what he used to be. Derek White can guard. Al Horford, still at his age, is one of the better defensive bigs. And then Tatum, who's known to be a pretty damn good defender right now
when he wants
over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, I agree, Jeff. More on the Celtics coming up.
But one more tidbit, and I'm going to give credit to where I found it, and that's with listening with the broadcast of the Denver game, the telecast, Sean Grandy. So I don't know whether it was Dick Light, the wonderful statistician that came up with this one. As of Monday night, that was the 12th. It was 11 straight days going through January 1 where someone had scored 40 points or more in an NBA game. Imagine that.
Right.
Now we're up to 12. Obviously, with Mitchell, and we're up to 13 after last night.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How's that?
There we go.
And we've never had, I can guarantee you, at the height of wilderness, at the height of that never happened, except for maybe him himself.
Right.
You know? But that's it. We're talking about a variety of people.
The skill is amazing. And defense comes down to effort. During the regular season, they're just not going to play as hard as they do in the postseason.
So here's the gist of it all for anyone listening. Take the over.
Yeah. Good job, Bob. Speaking of taking the over, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting.
That wasn't a setup, folks. I swear to God.
That was a layup, Bob. You put it right in my hands, kid. Off the window and in. Everything from the NFL, you got the bowl season about ready to wrap up, to esports. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any game imaginable. With the fastest and easy way to bet all your favorite league and events. Head to betonline.ag, that's betonline.ag, and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, to the Celtics. I can't figure this team out. The Denver game, first, let's talk about that because you had Rob the Rim Wrecker, and then we'll get to the Oklahoma City game last night, which was an embarrassment. But he wrecks the rim, and what I don't get, Jeff, is 40 minutes to fix it. Now, Celtic fans will say the Celtics had some momentum. That killed their momentum. Huh. They lost to Denver. Yeah,
they were losing that game anyway.
Yeah,
they got what they deserve, period.
Yeah, cry me a river. Right. But I don't understand why a rim wasn't immediately replaced.
I don't know. I mean, you would think they would be prepared for these. Like this happens in every arena. How is there not
trying to level it and fix it? Like, what do you guys?
I couldn't believe. It was, and of course, the only good thing about it was listening to Scal. Scal was hilarious. That was the only good thing.
Scal is hilarious.
And boy, they had to fill 40 minutes. God love them. You know, they earned their money.
Fill 40 by himself.
They earned their money though that night. No, you're totally right, Gary. There's no excuse for that. That's the league should. You know, they should pay some kind of sanction and punishment from the league for that. That's unacceptable. There's fixed, no way that anything like that should take 40 minutes in the year 2022.
I was like flabbergasted. They had the stupid Denver mascot out there. I'm like, what are they doing? Go into the back room, pull one out, put up a new one. Let's go.
I mean, I'm just thinking about babysitters. Oh my God. I'm thinking about all kinds of things. Seriously, you know, we've all parents.
Yeah,
we've all been there.
I know.
We've all been there. And, you know, oh my God, babysitter, another hour.
Okay. So I thought, okay, after the Denver game, because we've seen the Celtic team do this, and I thought, all right. So OKC, they're going to come back. They're going to wax them. My God. I mean, Bob, I thought it was embarrassing. There was no defense. Oklahoma City went to the rim at will. They lost 150 to 117. Marcus got yanked. They just quit. It looked like to me they quit.
That is utterly unacceptable. That's a disgraceful performance against not even a mediocre team. So a team missing its only marquee player. Let's remember that. You know, the one reason you might want to turn in to see the game was to see Gilgeous Alexander is averaging 30 points a game. No, this is bad. Now this is on. I don't say it's on Joe, but he's got to fix this. You can't, you know, this is not good. If I'm Brad, I'm very upset. If I'm Wick and Steve, I'm very upset. That's disgracing the uniform, what they did, frankly. And they're too good for this. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to say this. I'm really curious. And Dallas has never been a good place for them. Then Doncic kills them.
I know.
So this is not exactly the place where they want to be going.
I agree with you, Bob. I saw Dallas next, and I go, they're going to go 0-3 on this trip. I mean, they may play their ass off. They may play their ass off against Dallas and still lose, Jeff.
Well, they're going to come home, and they're not going to be the best record in the conference the way Brooklyn's playing. And
here's the thing. A year ago, is when they started going their run, right? Everybody was telling them how bad they were,
right?
How they couldn't play together, how they were a dead team, mediocre. They had that kind of, you know, desire and what. You know, the motivation to flip it. Now I feel like they don't really have the motivation in their own minds because they're just saying, oh, we got to get to the playoffs. It's one of those. I feel like for this team to some degree, it's like, just let us get to the playoffs and then we're going to turn on. And that is dangerous.
Oh, it's very dangerous. Well, it's a long slog. And this is where Joe Mazzulla is going to earn his money. Let's face it.
That's the problem. I mean, what do you think about that, Jeff? I mean, you've known Mazzulla a long time. I mean, that's where I'm concerned, where we understand, you know, Ime had issues. They had to make a move there. But this is where a guy like Ime, this was his strength.
Yeah, he would have jumped him. I mean, he did jump him a year ago. And it worked. Yeah, we got to see what buttons Mazzulla can push, number one, what he's comfortable being able to do with this group. Because, you know, let's face it, this thing can't blow up in his face. This is his dream job. So he's got to be very careful, too, because he wants the permanent job. And the only way to get it is still to have the trust and belief and support of the players, number one, because if you don't, you're going to be gone. And number two, you better win in the postseason.
Well, so, do they listen to him right now? That's the thing. I mean, the Dallas game is pivotal, as Bob said to me.
I don't think any of them are pivotal.
Well, I will say this.
Because honestly, are we going to remember, Gary, are we going to remember this stretch come playoffs? We're not.
I mean, it depends on their seed, but
sure,
at least for me. But when I say it's pivotal, I think it's pivotal in evaluating Missoula. I mean, this is where a coach has to say, okay, we're going into Dallas, guys. You got to put in 110% effort. If they go out and lay another egg, to me, that's a reflection of the coach.
No, it's going to start there.
And you know,
it's going to start there, and it's going to be a fair question. And we all want to put, you know, we're all protective. I mean, I'm protective mentally of him. I want him to do well. He's in a precarious position, you know, I don't want it to blow up in his face in any way. And well, so
for the guy.
Yeah, but that's it. So, you know, I'm looking at it from that point of view. I'm wondering, I'm thinking as we speak here, I'm just thinking about, they got two, you know, wise old veterans. Can they exert their influence on it? Al and the silent man, the guy who doesn't play, but he's still around, is Blake Griffin. You know, I don't know whether you can exert any influence if you're not playing, but, you know, he is a quality person as far as I know. But we know what Al, we've all sung Al's praises, Al Big Brother.
But does Al talk? Does Al talk? That's the problem. Is Al going to go up to Tatum or Jaylen Brown and get into him? That's not his personality.
It's not him. I think Al's good when things are going well.
Listen, no, I think Al's good no matter what as a teammate. I just don't know. He's fine as your like secondary leadership. But who is your leader right now? When you need somebody to step forward and jump these guys, well, it's Marcus Smart.
I was
really
just going to say
that's who it's got to be.
Yeah, it's he's the personality, and
he's got to. He's probably the guy. And has he matured into somebody that? Now, here's the only thing I'm going to push back on you with, Gary. If I had told you that the Celtics, as of January whatever 4th, as we're taping this right now, would be 26-12 before the season, what would you have told me?
Oh, of course.
With the way they finished the season, I would have said...
No Robert Williams.
No, well, I mean, no Robert Williams.
Of course I would have taken it.
But of course I would have taken it. But the problem is that you see what they can do. Sure. And maybe that's just maturity. Maybe that's, you know, the regular season versus the postseason. But I get frustrated. Look, I can understand they lost to Denver on the road. Fine. Okay. It happens. But then to go out and lay an egg like they did against OKC, that worries me. I want to bring up another guy. I'm sorry, Bob, you had a comment?
Well, no, you're so right about the Denver. I've seen that game. You know, I'm pulling a little, not rank with you guys, but I'm just pulling a little, you know, 53 years of watching rank. I've seen that game before where a nice, good team at home having a good night. You know, it beats you and there's no disgrace involved. You could have played better, but there's no, you know, they deserve what they got. I've seen that game 100 times.
Denver's got the best player on the floor. Arguably.
They got the best player on the floor and they can go a long way in the West. Yes. The West is set up for anybody. So anyway, you're right. And then the next night, first thing I thought of was that game that night in the Silverdome, 160-117, with Vitale leading the cheers. And that, you don't want to be the party the second part on a night like that.
What about, I mean, I don't, Jeff, I'll start with you because I don't know how well each one of you know this guy. What about Damon Stoudemire on the bench?
So I know Damon super well, really well.
Assistant coach.
Obviously, he went to Arizona. He went to Arizona. He coached in college for years. I've known Damon, and I said this when it happened. I thought Damon should have been the head coach and not Missoula. Right. But because Damon was so close to Ime Udoka, I think that's part of the reason he didn't get the job, to be honest. I think he was kind of a victim of his own circumstance and his relationship with Ime. But Damon, here's the thing with Damon. Damon has the respect of these guys because he played in the league.
Right.
He was a lottery pick in Toronto. You know, he's 5'10", and he made a ton of money in the league. Now they probably don't remember him watching him play. But he was always able to you know, to me, the expectations weren't ever great for Damon, and he was able to be a star at Arizona, then a first round pick, and stay in the league for a long time. So I think he's got more credibility, more respect with the players because of that. Damon is a chill dude. He's pretty chill. I love Missoula, but personally, I was shocked that they didn't hire Damon Stoudamire because, again, he's played in the league. He's been a head coach, albeit at Pacific University, where he did a really good job in the WCC, taking arguably one of the worst programs.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In that league and doing a really good job with them and getting them in the top half of the WCC. So I was, and he's grinded out, guys. He started, believe it or not, he started his coaching career as a volunteer assistant making nothing at Rice University. Then he was assistant for years at Arizona, his alma mater, at Memphis, a head coach at Pacific. So this isn't your typical $100 million guy who doesn't want to work. Mm-hmm. He does want to work. Mm-hmm. So I thought he paid his dues. And he was on the first row of the bench sitting next to Ime all last year. Well, Joey was in the back row.
That is hilarious. So, by the way, Jeff, just backing up one more time to your 26-12, would you take it thing. You know who would have taken it? Brad. I heard it from his own lips. We want to tread water until we get Robert Williams.
Yeah. Right? That's what I'm saying. Is like, I get it how it went, Gary. Change your expectation.
Right.
Because they were so good early. What I'll say is, I don't think anybody's going to remember this stretch. Team has a stretch. Not every team, but almost every team has a stretch like this. The key is, are they going to be mature enough to be able to maybe second half of the year see the light at the end of the tunnel, see the playoffs, and say to themselves, you know what? We're not going to take games off now when we're on the court. Now, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, to me, Gary, I think what you want to do is give them a little load management in the second half of the year. I really believe that. Even though they're young, I would still – Robert Williams, I wouldn't play him in a back-to-back. I would not play him in one back-to-back this season.
Well, okay, there's 2 points I want to make here because I do have a question about the Stoudamire thing. But in response to that, hopefully it's not too late because the East is loaded.
Yeah.
And if the Nets keep – if the Nets turn it on – I mean, we had Cleveland, you know, Cleveland would say, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, it's great that
they're good.
So my point is you think, okay, well, probably going into the season, we thought, okay, it's the Celtics in Milwaukee. That's not the case anymore. You got five teams that could take, you got four or five teams in the East that could take the Celtics out in the playoffs. So my concern, my concern is let's not get cocky, fellas. Let's take care of business.
And I mean, Brooklyn's a half a game behind the Celtics right now.
I know. Is that they think they're going to coast into the, you know, load man. I understand what you're saying about load management, Jeff, but let's not take this for granted here and find ourselves going in as like the fourth or fifth seed.
Well, you want the home court advantage. You're right. You want the home court advantage.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, I get it. I understand. I'm overreacting because of the game, the way it was played. I'm like, my God, guys. But
aren't you saying their A game, if they play their A game, is there a team that they should not beat, including Milwaukee?
Yeah, they should beat anybody in the league if they play their A game.
Right. All right. One adjunct to this, and people ask me this question, and I honestly can't answer it. Are the Warriors in their head?
Well, that's a great question.
But are the Warriors going to get to them anyway?
I'm saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, Bob's right. I think they are. I mean, Bob, I agree with you. That game, another game that I was in. I was like, what's going on? You got to be up for these dudes. Bob, it's legit. One question about Stoudamire, real quick. Do you think he can help Missoula through this? Can he be the bad cop?
Well, I don't think Damon's like a bad cop. I don't think either one of them are a bad cop. Like Ime at times was the bad cop. Like Ime, but I think Damon will when he needs to. Yes. Okay. But that's not his personality either. Like I said, he's pretty chill. Missoula's got more, probably a little more outward energy than Damon. But here's what I will say. A lot of guys would have been pissed off, would have been out after they saw Joe Missoula get the job instead of them when they felt like they had earned it, right? Mm-hmm. And right. Damon's been unbelievable from all accounts, from the people I've talked to in terms of just being a team that's guy. Good. Again, Damon could have been like, the hell with it. I'm taking my ball and going home here. I'm not dealing with this shit. This guy came from the second row. He's done nothing. He was a head coach at Fairmont State. And I, you know, I've been, you know, on the first row and, you know, played in the league and all that. So I think they work well together and can play off each other pretty well with the players. Remember, Damon has worked with Marcus Smart the last year plus. Right. And there's been a big, big change in Marcus Smart's game in the last year plus.
Obviously. Yeah. So, well, he's very important. I think Damon Stoudemire is very important to this team. Bob, when I saw that Zion was out for 3 weeks, I was really disappointed. And I know we're not doctors, and what can we say? But this guy is so much fun. In the game, he got hurt, and he had 26 points, had a hamstring injury. So here we go again, right? So he's out for 3 weeks.
Well,
and my question is, and I say this kind of in jest, get Tom Brady on the phone. I mean, what's going on? I mean, I'm dead. Whatever he's doing is not working.
Yeah, but wait. His body compared to Tom Brady's body. It's genetics. It's genetics, Gary. Well,
maybe he needs to start drinking that coconut water.
All right, well, maybe that won't hurt.
But there's something going on with this guy's routine. I mean, it has to be elasticity. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, it's been a question since he came in the league. We could that body hold up, and now this manifested itself in a different way. It's usually been a joint thing, you know, too much stress on a joint. This is a groin pull. I don't know what the connection is there. But the very idea that he's out order combat yet again is not shocking. It's predictable. You turn over the hourglass, and this is the great shame. You know, not shame, but with the word I was searching for. It's not a tragedy.
It is sad. It's always shame.
You know, just for him, he's a one. But start with him. He himself. He knows how good he can be and how good he is, and he'd like to play, and he'd like to stop doing this. You know, but then the trickle down from all the effect on the team, the fans, all of us as general basketball fans. He's so special. There's nobody like him. You know, he occupies a stylistic role that nobody else in the NBA does. So you know, we miss having him around, and they were playing well. So
really well, they're a game out of first place.
Yeah, so
Guerrero on the line,
and the skinny guy hasn't been playing. You know, I call him a skinny guy. You know what I mean? And
Ingram, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So anyway,
Zion's been so good lately. So yeah, that's the saddest part of this is as a team they've become relevant, which we were waiting for, right? We were waiting.
Yep.
He's been, by all accounts, a good teammate, where a year ago at this point, remember, people were questioning whether he was a good teammate because he wasn't around his team. I think it was J.J. Redick came out with that comment publicly a little bit that right. Zion needed to become a better teammate. And Zion's done all of the above. And, man, is he a great kid, guys. Like, when that came out, I think we talked about a little bit last year, when that came out about him
right.
questioning whether he was a good teammate, I've never been so shocked. Never, because I've been around him a bunch. And man, like he is always smiling, always upbeat, always accessible. Just everything about him, he was awesome. And so I honestly feel bad for the kid right now but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I felt like Zion and Chet Holmgren were the two guys in the last 20 years that I've covered that if you had said to me, hey, you know what? They're probably going to be hurt a good portion of their NBA careers, those would have been the two I would have listed.
Well, hopefully they find a solution and they keep him in the game. But I was like, get Guerrero on the line. just stretch, baby, stretch. Yoga. Get to a yoga class. Gentlemen, a pleasure. We'll do it again next week. Jeff Goodman, Bob Ryan, I'm Gary Tanguy.
Thanks for checking in with the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway along for the ride, Zoom podcast.